Comic Book Club News gives you the comic book news you need to know first thing in the morning every weekday in the form of digestible 3 to 5 minute long podcasts. Comic Book Club News recaps breaking news stories from Marvel, DC Comics, and beyond, Monday through Friday. New episodes drop 6 a.m. ET in the Comic Book Club News feed, so they're ready for you when you're ready for the day. Comic Book Club News. You hear it second or third, possibly fourth.
My name is David Winters. Night has fallen on the house of Collinwood. But really, it's foggy and dark during the day as well. And sometimes when we're doing night scenes, it looks like it's in the middle of the day with just fog. So anyway, I digress. I'm not questioning Barnabas's mental health, but a double breakdown, and a breakdown calling for Josette and screaming and yelling, even though my name is Victoria, doesn't bother me much. Here we are.
Welcome back, Radical Ones and Dark Shadows fans, to another episode of our little review and recap of 1991's Dark Shadows, the revival. Of course, it's Radical Ryan Hunter here with everyone's favorite brother, David. And you are not lying, David. How many day-to-night scenes did they do in this?
Well, here's the funny part. Even in the house, you'll notice that it looks like there has to be a lot of dust in that house. How funny is this? So I live in the West. There is a lot of dust in the air in the West, and when I do use things like humidifiers or a lot of moisture in there, you can actually see that there is a significant amount of dust in the air. Like, I do a lot of dusting. It seems like no matter what scene in this show, whether they're doing filming at a dinner table, there's always like a haze in the air. Have you noticed that?
Yes.
And then the scenes where Barnabas is walking with Victoria Winters at night,
yeah,
it looks awfully bright, and I'm thinking, is that supposed to be moonlight? But it's awfully bright, but yet it's also very foggy. But then during the day when it is bright, it's still very overcast. I think that's supposed to be like they're like on a mountainy kind of thing, but they're supposed to be by the water. So it doesn't make sense, right? It's supposed to be fog. Is it supposed to be the marine layer or something?
No, but even in our last episode when he kills Daphne in the garden, that looked like it was daylight, honestly, when he left her body in that by the fountain. So we start off, David, this episode, Barnabas sits in a chair sweating when Julia enters and he tells her she is late for his weekly injection, his Ozempic.
His Ozempic. He's doing his Ozempic again.
And he's basically, it's like almost withdrawals, I'm assuming. But she's like, hey, listen, I need to wait for this family to go to sleep.
Yeah, she's like, I don't know what you think's going to go happen here. I got to walk over here. I got to talk to your henchman that's questionable hygiene. I got to push past him to get into this damn house all the time. He looks at me with his filthy, dirty eyes. Oh. Anyway, and I am Miss Julia Hoffman. Don't you dare talk back to me.
Do you love her style? She wears all black and she's got a Lara Croft Tomb Raider braid.
I love it. I put Dr. Hoffman being smug with herself. That's what I have the comment I have for her.
She's feeling herself at this point. Hell, she's curing a vampire. So
she has this journal where she's basically writing down, keeping track of everything. She's saying basically
things
about how it's for the greater good, so to speak, and people have died, but it's worth it.
Record of serology experiment BC1. My plan is to divide subject's initial blood sample into 12 separate control units. After each inoculation, a new blood sample will be drawn so that subject's change in blood chemistry can be accurately charted over the course of the experiment. The first test will be to establish the effect of the sun's rays on the original baseline sample.
And then, you know, something we didn't mention in the last episode and in this episode, Barnabas' reaction to getting these injections. The pain of icy riding my veins to my shoulder. The silver lining of what is it? What? Just what? Like, you can't just say I'm in pain. He's like the burn that runs through my veins, touching my skin. Silver. And I'm like, dramatic much?
Barnabas, I must warn you, the serum may be highly toxic to your system.
Doctor, whatever the outcome, nothing could be worse than this. I suggest you make haste.
So you're right, David. You mentioned in our last episode that it's actually probably killing the parts of his body and like almost remaking it. Like I'm picturing a shriveled heart and it's starting to like fill up with blood now. It's like the serum. But again, Julia Hoffman is a genius because what the hell did she come up with?
She's like, I'm just using some dish soap and, you know, Dawn gets the grease out of the way. Some dish soap and you know, a few things that I found in my and underneath the sink in the bathroom that I'm using currently.
She's like, you know, those Collins.
So there's a few things going on. Let's just kind of get to like there's a few things going on.
Right after we set up that he's getting these injections, it actually cuts to Victoria and Barnabas. I guess it's not a dream because I thought it was a dream, but because Victoria was acting too happy for her own good, binning and
she was she was acting very childlike, which is indicative of how young she is. That Barnabas is this older man that, and she's kind of trying to be, she's more carefree. She's like, she's kind of let go a little bit.
It's so wild out here. It could be 1,000 years ago.
Or 1,000 years hence. Here, time stands still.
Doesn't even exist. Wouldn't that be wonderful?
Perhaps I shouldn't have brought you out on such a night as this.
Oh, no. It's exciting. I feel so free, as if I could just fly.
She walks in beauty like the night of cloudless climes and starry skies.
And all that's best of dark and bright meet in her aspect and her eyes.
She said the wind was gonna blow her. The wind was so windy, she felt like it was gonna blow her away. And I was like, oh, she must have had some red wine with Barnabas at dinner because she was spinning. But then, David, she spins and becomes Josette. So is this a dream? Is this
no, she becomes, she's not Josette. In Barnabas' mind, he's replaying that she's Josette because they're near the widow's hill and the widow's wail and everything else.
Oh, God, the widow's whale.
She's playing and she's running and she's being playful, and Barnabas has one of his breakdowns thinking that she's going to jump off of the widow's, what is it, widow's point,
widow's hill. Yeah,
widow's hill.
What's wrong?
You shouldn't run about here like that.
Barnabas, I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm all right. The wind is so loud, it sounds almost human.
They call it the widow's wail. Legend has it that on stormy nights, the wives of the fishermen would come here to search for their husbands' ships. Many a wife became a widow here. And more than a few decided to join their husbands on the rocks below.
Is this where Josette died?
Yes.
And so he's running and yelling. She pays no attention that he's calling her Josette.
I'm telling you, she loves this fantasy. She is into this. She's listen, like, I she, will be
she's
Josette.
She's feeling the fantasy, but she, what?
I will be Josette.
But she's giving me rough.
She says, David, the wind is so loud, it's almost human. What?
Yeah.
That should have been, the wind is so loud, it's almost terrifying or something.
The wind is so loud, I can't hear a thing you're saying as you're screaming for Josette.
She notices he looks very upset. He's talking about Widow's Hill.
Like, is this where Josette died or whatever? He's like, yes, when I couldn't stop her. Me. I mean, my relative.
My distant cousin. Yes. Oh, my cousin. The original Barnabas. The original Barnabas. Did I mention the original Barnabas? And he said quite a few women decided to join their husbands on the rocks below. So this is like a ceremonial.
This is very like the shipwrecks. Yes. And so that's one point that he has a breakdown. Then he's getting very antsy. He's getting very antsy with Dr. Hoffman.
Withdrawals.
There's a point where he has Victoria over in the Josette room.
Yes, yes, yes. You will not go in here unless you are.
And that's when she's sucking face with him, like she, like his mouth, like that she's running out of oxygen, and his inside his mouth is an oxygen tank.
Yes, that was some kissing. And if you think about it, again, we don't know how young Joanna Goings was at this point, but if you're a 20-year-old, and I'm assuming
just watching that.
God, I would have turned into a vampire too.
Saliva probably would have done her in right there.
I mean, Barnabas, the fact that he held on to that. So he turns around right in time to have the transformation. And again, in this Dark Shadows, you get the eyes. You can't even just go, oh, cover your mouth. Your eyes turn into these red demonic eyes.
Which lends itself to saying that either Julia's Hoffman's treatment is not working or there really is a curse. So she might be suppressing the physical need for the blood. But he is still the monster inside regardless. And that's kind of giving him a tailspin. And that's when he says, leave. And she's like, what do you mean?
She's probably
leave?
Like, oh my God, I've never, maybe because she realized that she ate his face. She's like, oh God, was there anything left? She says, she's okay,
like,
Barnabas.
She's like, he thinks I'm a whore now, like Caroline. Is that her name?
I got into so much trouble. And by the way, I love this character in the original, Carolyn. I think Caroline, but it's Carolyn. Okay. I've been saying this so many times. I know Radical Ones. I've been saying this since I was a kid watching in the 90s. Oh my God, David. I'm looking at this like recap of the episode. We have to cut to the dream. David has a dream. He walks through the drawing room and he calls out to see if anyone's in this house. And you know when no one answers, this has to be a dream because
there's always somebody walking around this house because they never leave because they got nothing else to do with themselves.
No, I don't see
Mrs. Collins Stutter going down to Stoddard, whatever her name is. Ruben Stutter. I don't think she's going down to the rusty anchor or whatever to go have a beer.
The whale. No, she's always in that house. Matter of fact, I like her again with the Western look. She had those like Western, like there was this Dallas they think they would go in with the Collins in this family. So David's calling out and all of a sudden he sees Carolyn appear and she's got the fangs and you're almost like, oh, thank God. He took her out off camera. there's hope for Joe. And he's like, oh my God. And she's got the fangs. She goes after him. He runs then into Daphne. But the most traumatic is, oh my God. And she opens her mouth so wide, Joanna Goings. He runs into Vicky and she grabs him and she has the fangs and she's like, like she keeps opening that mouth with the fangs. It was horrific, honestly. It was horrific. And he wakes up. It's a dream and Vicky's above him.
Must have been some dream. You want to tell me about it?
It's Daphne. She's still trying to get me.
Oh, David, it was only a dream.
I don't care. She's coming back to get me and get you too and Carolyn.
David, Daphne's gone. She can't ever come back again.
I don't care what you say. She was dead the last time. She's coming back.
And she's like, it's just a dream. It's okay. But now what I do like is that you see that she has broken through and now she gave him a kiss on the forehead. She said she'll stay with him. Yeah. And I can understand how he would have those type of nightmares. It's scary.
Especially after he saw the dead cousin.
I mean, listen, you have to remember, in life, we tell our children there's nothing to be afraid of. There's nothing to be afraid of. And then the things that go bump in the night really are in this show.
This, by the way, it cuts to, which I thought was really odd, the next day. It cuts to David playing outside with a stick, and then he goes to the mausoleum, which, again, I blame him. He's asking for it.
Well, here's the thing. I think he was trying to see, because Victoria, when he woke up, she said, she's not going to hurt you. She's gone. She's gone. He's like, but you said she was gone the first time. She's like, no, but she's gone for real this time. Because now we cremated her.
You, matter of fact, that would have been the best thing. And we actually sent her away. We made her into a record. Isn't that what they do now? You can make like records out of.
You can make people into diamonds. You can put them into a thing to make them feed a tree. You know, if they call it feed the tree. You can dissolve people in water. There's a lot of different things. Why do I know this? Don't ask.
Daphne is now going to be playing in the old drawing room on a record player in a few weeks, David. Don't you worry. He then comes across. We haven't seen her in a little while. Sarah, this is the ghost sister of Barnabas, but I call her Goldilocks.
I call her Thackeray Banks.
That's exactly what she is.
Sarah, you almost gave me a heart attack. Where you been anyway?
Away. Don't be afraid, David. Daphne is gone. She will never come back.
Are you sure?
Yes, David. Good and gone, gone for good, forever and ever. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. Daphne is ashes, Daphne is dust. Daphne is gone. Her pain is gone. But there is another in pain. And someone who needs your help.
Who?
I can't tell you, David.
Why?
It's someone you know. Someone who is very close to you.
Who is it, Sarah?
Wait,
don't go. Tell me!
And she's singing London Bridge. Now, little antidote, David, the original Sarah. Again, this was a daily soap opera. This girl forgot her lines every day in the original one. She didn't know what the hell she was saying half the time. And they made her sing London Bridge because I don't think they had anything else for her to say. So she would always sing London Bridge is falling down.
So she wasn't doing Fergie's?
No.
Every time you come around my London Bridge, want to go down like London.
She wasn't doing that. So they kind of just had this holdover of her doing London Bridge. But she does say that she is at peace, Daphne. You know, she's at peace. They did kill her a few times in the most horrific way, but she's at peace, but there is still someone in danger. Now, does she mean Victoria or Barnabas?
I'm going to say she means Victoria.
Who's very close to you. It's like Dark Victoria. Lady Cher. Someone very close to you.
She laughed and danced and lit the candles one by one.
We also cut back to the old house. Julia's like, it's time to do a experiment. And he gets pissed off, Barnabas. He's like, I am not an experiment doctor. But you kind of are. What do you expect?
See, there's a few things I would have changed, like from the beginning when he's like, your science. I would have said, well, Barnabas, medicine and science has changed from the last 200 years. We're not putting leeches on people anymore. I would have said something like that, would have been a little more smug with him from the very beginning. And that way. How does he even know what a cell is, being that he's been entombed?
Actually thought that too. There's a few things, like even vaccines. There was no vaccines back when he was.
I mean, penicillin wasn't discovered until like what, in the like 1900 and something.
And she's a woman doctor. I don't think there was probably, was there too many women doctor back then?
No.
He's like, this is questionable from the beginning.
He's like, the only one I remember is Madame Curie.
Madame Curie. So this is when she pulls out the mirror and she says, Willie, drop the cloth down. Let's see it. And he slowly walks and damn, he looks good. He smiles. Matter of fact, she actually says, you got a gray hair, Barnabas.
Yeah. And it's so sad because Willie really is trying to be Barnabas's friend. And I don't think Barnabas has not been kind to him at all and takes his frustration out on Willie. He says, we shall put mirrors in every room.
Willie? We shall hang mirrors in every room of the house.
Yeah, sure, Barnabas. In every room in the house.
You must be patient, Barnabas. Everything you want is going to come true.
And when it does, I shall owe it all to you. And to you shall I give all my thanks.
Because she said, you know, this is a slow process, and he is rushing it, because she doesn't know at this point that he wants to rush it because he wants to get with Victoria. Matter of fact, Julia's like, why was Miss Winters here? What was she doing? Why did he act like, what happened before this happened? Why was she here?
He's like, she was just, what did he say? Willie told her she was looking for David, and she just wanted to see what the house looked like.
Yeah.
Well, Barnabas does put his hands on Julia's face and
yes,
say,
okay,
and you will be the one I give all of my gratitude to, or whatever.
Thank you, David. So this was my question for this episode for you. Is he not leading Julia on in some ways?
Yes.
Okay, I don't think he knows that he is.
I think that he's just used to being seductive because that's a vampire thing.
But he is leading her on. She is getting these feelings from him because I owe you everything. It will be because of you. When I see my first sunset, it will be with you. Mm-hmm. And especially if you're a doctor, and I could imagine she has given her life to work.
Wanna go down like London, London, London.
That's going on. And heck, Ben Cross isn't too bad looking, especially when he smiles. Cut to David. Miss Carolyn, Joe is sitting in the terrace having a nightmare, and he's startled awake by Carolyn, who has brought him a lunch tray and her lusty look. Matter of fact, David, they hired this woman and they said,
you guys aren't seeing this, but Ryan is clipping to like actual frames of the show to prove his point. It's like exhibit A, exhibit
she,
B.
Puppy dog. Puppy. I mean, I get it, Carolyn. This man is a gorgeous man, but come on, give him time. Plus, isn't this your cousin? I don't even know. No,
she's dead twice. Now that's it.
Oh my god, that's right. I killed her a second time.
She's a twice baked potato. Goodbye.
He says he's thinking about going away, and she strokes his arm again, saying she'll miss him if he did. This is the last we see of these two in this episode. What will happen? We got to cut to Professor Michael Woodard. He's having a wonderful dinner, it says, with Julia, and he asks how her work is going, and he asks why is she staying now that Daphne's gone, and she said, oh, I'm treating Joe, and he said, come on, Julia, I know you think there's a vampire too, and you're just not gonna admit it, and she's like, that is preposterous, you are crazy, and then he says, well, who's the newest person in town, Julia, who's never seen, and I'm so glad, David, that they actually said it, they never say these in, like, these shows or anything, oh, it seems that Barnabas is gone every time. Oh, is he in town again? Oh, Oh, he's out again? Oh, Willie. Okay. So I'm so glad they actually put two and two together. But she said, are you crazy?
I'm a doctor.
Exactly. Do you see? You don't see me dragging my stethoscope at midnight over there? We cut to, oh, this is the part, David. Right after this is when he has the hungry face for Victoria. He sends her home. And then he's like, call Dr. Hoffman. Get her here now. This will be my last day without seeing the sun. And she said, Barnabas, it is not good to rush these injections, right? So this is, you don't know what's going
to
happen.
He's on the roid rage. He's been taking steroids to build up muscle, and now he's getting crazy.
I love this because David mentioned that she has been taking these samples, right? And every time she puts them in the sun and they start to boil after a while. So I do love seeing that. Like, she puts the blood next to the original blood and she's seeing that, okay, yeah, these things aren't boiling as much as.
Did you notice the blood went from almost looking black, though, to looking like more like a real blood?
And I kept saying, please, God, let her wear gloves during this process. No. Blood. Matter of fact, we see it at the end turn to powder, but Professor Woodard is playing around with it at the end. It turns to powdered blood. That can't be good. She gives him this injection, and he said, I will see the sun, and he begins to sweat and boil. Okay, so cut to now. The sun is coming, David, right? So she's got the sample in the window, and he's like, Willie, open them drapes.
And then she's like, Willie, close them. He's like, Willie, tape them open. Close them, open them, close them, open them. He's like, what do I do? Barnabas will beat the hell out of me, and Dr. Hoffman will probably beat the hell out of me.
You're right. She is really taking a hold to Willie, too. So this is when he was like, I saw the sun. And he kept looking and looking and looking. And it's like, it's beautiful.
He's like, what is this feeling? Warmth on my skin.
I was going to say, you're boiling, Barnabas. That's what I kept saying. You're bubbling. That's the warmth, because you're boiling.
But he didn't burst into flames.
He begins now to groan and collapse, and then there's someone, David, at the front door.
Dun, dun, dun.
What do you want?
We're here to see Barnabas, Willie.
Well, it's awful early. He's still asleep.
Willie, it's important. I'd appreciate it if you'd get him.
Before he leaves for Boston or Portland,
It seems he's always away when somebody wants to see him, particularly during the day.
He is here, isn't he?
Sure he's here. Sure. Where else would he be?
Willie, I'm afraid we're going to have to ask you to wake him. Now, may we come in?
So somehow they managed to get Roger involved. Roger comes with the sheriff and Professor Woodard, and they're like, I must see Julia. I must see Barnabas in the day.
I must insist. I must insist that we see him now.
And she's like, I'm treating him.
And he's like, Willie didn't say you were treating him for anything.
Well, that's true. So he's kind of on to this point too, that, Julia,
He has a raging fever that kept him awake the entire night.
Well, then perhaps we should come back later and pay our respects.
I don't think that would be advisable.
Why, Doctor? Does he have the plague? Are you quarantining the house?
Michael, I don't understand the nature of these questions.
Doctor, we have to talk with Mr. Collins regarding Daphne and the others.
Are you suggesting he's a suspect?
Well, nobody's making any accusations. We just want to have a brief conversation.
Now, this morning, in the daylight.
This actually is a pretty good part of the episode, right? So they're saying he has to come down. He's got the flu.
Wait a minute. Michael said to her, well, he's got the plague because you don't have a mask on, basically.
I don't wear gloves either, doctor, when I'm doing blood. So what do you want? I live my experiments. So all of a sudden you hear him because thank God that he kind of got this somewhat injection that he's able to. Oh, my God. He looked horrible, too. He looked like a corpse walking down. He's like, and Roger, I have to have this intrusion in my house.
Three uninvited guests to my home.
Roger should have been like, hey, listen, Barnabas, this is my house.
That's like me. That's my husband has a sign on the door that please do not knock or ring bell. Babies. Well, it used to be when we had when my youngest was really
young. Babies will cry.
Things will bark. Things will get real.
I will walk down the stairwell.
Times on the ring camera, I see people going, oh my God, should I ring this bell? Should I be knocking? And I'm like, people that are supposed to be coming to like my house.
That's when you should do it like the Marley's ghost on the door.
Obviously, he's somewhere upstairs. What are we waiting for?
That won't be necessary, gentlemen.
Mr. Collins.
I am the one who should be surprised, Professor Woodard. To discover three unexpected guests in my house at this early hour, I don't remember issuing an invitation.
I'm sorry about this, Barnabas. Professor Woodard had a crazy idea.
Roger. I prefer to discuss crazy ideas at another time.
Barnabas sweats and groans down the stairs. This is what it says in the synopsis.
I know the feeling every day of my life.
Professor Woodard's like, would you please come down into the light? I think you need some light. That's what you need. Have you ever thought about that, Barnabas?
You're looking pale. You need some more vitamin D.
So he's walking. He's like, you're right, Professor. And he's walking closer and closer and closer to the light. And he actually gets into the light. And the professor is shocked. And then Julia must see that eventually he's going to burst into flames. So she's like, I must stop this right now. My patient needs rest. Roger apologizes.
And then Roger gets mad. It's like, you made me look like a fool. I could have been with Maggie this whole time. No, yeah. He doesn't say that part, but
they got to show him. You got to remember that there's another Collins in this family. You know, they kind of show like one at a time. Outside, he says he is still convinced that there is something going on and he is a vampire. And they don't want the sheriff's like, unless you have evidence, don't come toward me again. So that happens. Also, David, we get Mrs. Johnson coming to visit her nephew, Willie, at the old house. And she brings him some kind of bread.
Nut bread.
Nut loaf. Oh, he loves it, Auntie. I love it with them teeth. I love
it,
Auntie.
I thought she brought him a hoagie. It looked like a sandwich.
It looked like a long sandwich. And he's nervous, too, I think, that she's going to get... Barnabas is going to want her for a snack. Because he's like, oh, you did so much work. Please come for dinner. He's like, oh, yes, Auntie. I will, Auntie.
She said she was so proud of him and this and that. And it meant a lot to him, unfortunately, at the cost of everything.
So he rushes her out and she's whatever. Okay, Mrs. Johnson, another character is seen. Guess what? Julia is back at the house and she's pulling her best Golden Girls. She's outside on the lanai. No, what did she say? I think Elizabeth says, oh, she's with the lily pad in the lily pad room or something like that. Like,
oh, she's in the garden by the lily pads or something. Yeah, she does. I don't know what she says.
Professor Woodard.
Elizabeth.
Come in.
Sheriff Patterson was concerned that you might blame him for this morning's unfortunate misunderstanding. But I should tell you, it was my fault entirely.
You could have brought your suspicions to me, Michael. We might have looked into them in a less public way and saved entire embarrassment.
Yes, I was hoping Dr. Hoffman might be at home so that I could give her my apologies as well.
I think you'll find her by the lily pond reading. Would you like me to get her for you?
Oh, thank you. It's not necessary. I'll find her.
The professor apologizes.
Yes, yes. That's what he said. Where is she? So I can apologize to her. But he goes to her room and he ransacks her drawers and he pulls out David, a World War II inspired camera, by camera, and takes pictures.
Espionage. I would have just taken the whole book. I would have just taken the whole book and brought it over to the sheriff's office right there.
He drops the blood, turns into a powder.
Don't even try.
But he touches it. And this is what I'm going. Is that going to give you something? Giving you something, Professor Woodard?
He leaves. And then Dr. Hoffman's coming in. And she's like, isn't it so nice that Michael came to apologize? And then she's like, I never saw him. She's like, well, I have work to do. Excuse me.
Julia.
Good evening, Elizabeth. The chill certainly comes quickly here once the sun goes down.
Yes, some weather's moving in. It was very gracious of Michael to drop by and apologize.
Michael Woodard?
Why, yes. Didn't you see him? Mm-mm. How very odd. I could have sworn he told me you'd spoken.
I'm afraid the professor's been acting a bit dotty recently.
Yes, I suppose we all have, if the truth be known.
Yes, well, now if you'll excuse me, Elizabeth, I have a mountain of work upstairs.
And then she realizes, so she goes to Barnabas and she's like, I had to, which is true, David. She did have to write her equations down. That does make sense. But he probably was like, well, you could have put a lock on it, Julia. Mm-hmm. She had it just in her desk, right when you open it.
No, he pried it open with a letter opener.
Oh, he did? Okay, so then I'll give her that. Okay, so I'll give her
it was that. It was in a locked drawer.
She's like, Barnabas, I had to write these down. He is pissed. He's pissed.
And she's like telling him, please don't kill him. Please don't harm him.
She likes him.
She shouldn't have told him then. You're going to tell a 200-year-old pissed off vampire that's already got a chip on his shoulder that there's a person that could basically make everything that he wants to come true, his hopes and dreams of being quote unquote normal, are going to become crashing down over one person. And he's used to killing countless people. He's not going to have revenge.
I think she thinks, though, at this point, he has more to lose, right? If he comes up with, because there hasn't been a murder in what she said, 10 weeks.
That he has humanity. Or something,
and that he loves her, and that he's promising her a beautiful future, which I want you all to remember, you know, when things go down. Dr. Woodard is on the phone at his house. Real night, David. This is real night, actually.
Storm. Raining.
Monsoon. Possibly another funeral is happening. It only storms like that at the Collins funeral. He's on the phone trying to reach the sheriff when the power goes out in his house. He goes to the fuse box. A cat makes the call. And he's like, oh.
Jumps on him.
Sebastian or something. Oh, Sebastian. Rah, 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 rah. And then he runs into Barnabas and he says, you've made a serious mistake, Professor. Your foolish curiosity has now brought you into my bleak universe. Dun, dun, dun. To be continued.
You've made a serious mistake, Professor. Your foolish curiosity has now brought you into my bleak universe.
Something we didn't mention is that, Ryan, tell them about this episode not having an opening.
You might have noticed. Yes, we did not get our My Name is Victoria Winters opening in the episode. You got it here. That is because this aired as the 2-hour miniseries for the 4 days in a row on NBC. Joanna Goings did record voiceovers for these to be replayed, you know, when it was going to be a hit and replayed over again and in single form to do the narration, but they did not add it to this one for whatever reason. Going forward, each episode will have My Name is Victoria Winters, which was odd.
Yeah,
You're watching this for a 2-hour, I guess, if you're watching this for the second hour on NBC. Like,
oh my God, it's another Gain commercial. I mean, it's another Victoria Winters voice.
Never ends. But you got blood in the rug. You got Julia Hoffman. Again, I love this, that she's sunbathing with all black on. Black head to toe, black socks, black shoes, black shoulder pads. Oh, I love it.
Black hat, Cadillac.
So what do you assume is going to happen? Like, this has been, how many years has this been that we watched this? What is going to happen, you think, in our next episode? I'm assuming Professor is
found dead.
Julia's going to go, oh, shit.
Either Julia's going to get afraid of him or she's going to seek revenge. I don't know. Your sacrifice will not go unknown, Michael.
For science.
Pulitzer Prize winner for curing vampirism.
The vaccine, maybe I'll name the second batch after you. the Woodard. And I wonder if speeding up the process is actually going to have a negative effect on Barnabas. Because I have memories, of course, of the movie and the soap opera of what happens. But I don't remember how things happen in this one yet. So I am actually really interested to see what
I remember something, but I'm not going to say it because I'm not going to spoil it off of, you know, I will talk off camera, I guess, but sorry, Radical Ones. Or
sorry, Radical Ones. You'll just have to wait for episode 4.
I will say this to kind of bring us back into the real world. If you guys like vampires, you like that traditional vampire storyline and you love Dark Shadows or like Dark Shadows or anything, this went very quickly. The first episode was a little longer, but it was setting up a lot.
Yes.
But as far as the episodes, like, I could have continued to watch and not stop. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Oh my
like,
God, right? It goes so quickly, David.
It went very quickly. And, you know, we always bring our brand of humor to it, but we love it. I think it's great. I wish it would have went on forever. I would have loved to have gone on for multiple seasons. It should have. But
it really should have. It really should have. Honestly, yeah, as we got closer and closer, I'm so glad that we still have a good chunk of episodes left, but there is that cliffhanger ending looming in our future. This has haunted you 33 years, this cliffhanger, 1991 to 20.
It's haunted me 33 years and I was only one when it came out.
My God, you're 34. Ugh. So this is a cliffhanger, but you know what, Radical Ones and Dark Shadows fans? I think what we're going to do is, there is actually some information of what the second season would have been. So we will get into that.
I didn't know that. Now you're going to break my heart more. But anyway.
They had plans. They actually had an actor in mind to play a certain character, which was a character from the original Dark Shadows as well, which I would have loved. We'll also do we'll go back to the soap opera and see how the storyline was resolved. So we'll kind of give you a faux ending based on the information that we do have, what was going to happen, plus the soap opera.
I just became Instagram friends with Joanna Goings. You should contact her and have her read those scripts. And Ben, unfortunately, passed away in 2020.
He did. So with that being said, Radical Ones and Dark Shadows fans, please follow along with us. If you would like to see the episodes, they are available on YouTube for free with commercial, as we said. I also noticed they are on dailymotion.com, which is another free, you know, thing. And the DVD is available, but it is out of print now, so it's probably over $100.
I have it.
I was going to say, and I have, mine is in David's closet as well.
Yours too, then.
You have double the Dark Shadows revival.
Although I think maybe I'm missing a disc. I don't remember. You know what's really funny? Do you remember when, like, they would only, you'd have to have about 1,000 discs to have, and now they can condense everything into, like,
oh my God, into one?
Yeah.
The Shira series used to be, let's say, each release was 6 DVDs. Now the entire series is on 6 DVDs.
Mm-hmm.
So, Although I think, David, that does take away the quality, they say. The more you put on a disc. But anyway, follow along with us. You can find David at Universal Appeal 2020, all one word, and the Radical Retro Rewind podcast, one word. Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, and more. We will see you again, Dark Shadows fans. Wear gloves.
Wear gloves.
Wear gloves when you're running around blood.
If you suspect a friend of yours is working with a vampire, don't tell them. And if your man has a mental breakdown and is calling you another woman's name as you're running in a field or near a cliff, it's a red flag. It's a red flag, please, ladies. It's a red flag. Or gentlemen.
You are in danger, girl.
Don't let London Bridge fall down on you.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Jim Fife. You can enjoy each episode of the new Dark Shadows on MPI Home Video. The special double-length premiere has been expanded to include 15 minutes of additional footage not seen on television. This new material is available only on home video. To order the Premier Collector's video for only $19.98, dial 1-800-278-8833. Call now, and you'll also receive a free Dark Shadows catalog. Additional episodes, including the finale with new extra footage, are also available.
Big shout out to you for making it through the hectic holiday season. This new year, get clean, quality, pregnancy nutrient support off your to-do list, including Ritual's best-selling essential prenatal multivitamin, designed with 12 traceable key ingredients to support a healthy pregnancy. With big changes coming up, take the small steps now and start today with 30% off a 3-month supply at ritual.com/podcast. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.